Yeah, thank God. It's good. Some good singing. I get tired of hearing about the diesel sniffers right up and down the countryside sniffing diesel fumes. You may like the zoot suiters, but not me. I don't have no use for them. They're ungodly. They don't know Jesus Christ, and they live like the devil. They're full of the devil. Where's my other set of eyes? I gotta have them. But I'm glad, thank God, Jesus Christ. He's worth glorying in. Amen. Look with us in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Beginning with verse 1, the Bible said, after these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples, the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed himself. They were together, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth to them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus himself, Jesus shewed himself to his disciples. After that he was risen from the dead. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that precious blood that was shedded yonder upon Calvary's mountain, that we may have life, that we may have it more abundantly. And we thank you, God, for that. We ask you, Lord, to set a watch at the door of our lips. Don't let us preach anything that be contrary to the Bible, the Word of God. Now, Father, the people have gathered here today. They come out. They're ready to hear. They want to hear something from thee. And I'm nothing but a vessel, God, in thine hand that is iron to be used of thee to bring forth to the people that which they need, that which would encourage, strengthen, and build up the body of Christ. And our Father, we all thank you and praise you, for we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to bring a message on children. Have ye any meat? There in verse 5, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Here in this great passage of Scripture, the children was asked, did they have any meat? Here we have the very tired fishermen asked a question which Jesus was desiring a response to. And he said, do you have any meat? And they said, no. We have some typology here in these verses of Scripture, which will be different normally than most of the time I preach, because we're going to go with these verses and see what God has to say about this. This boat here represents the church. And that water out there represents the world in which that boat is in. And they've toiled all night and they've caught nothing. And what's wrong, young preachers, when you go out yonder in the ministry, things don't seem to go just like you would have them to go. And when they don't go like that, you think there's something wrong with the church. Or maybe there's something wrong with the word. Or maybe there's just something wrong with the fishing hole where you're fishing. And what we need to realize, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with the ship. The ship is a type of the church. There's nothing wrong with the church. The Bible said there in verses 3 and verse 6, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And he said unto them, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish. When I say there's nothing wrong with the church, because she's anchored in the rock of ages, there's nothing wrong. Her anchor holds, so there's nothing wrong with the ship. The old ship of Zion is still just as strong as she's ever been. There's nothing wrong with her. What's wrong is people. People, a lot of times, they don't like things around here at Bible Baptist, so they get mad and they go down the road. I said, things just ain't right over. Hey, things ain't wrong with the ship.
That's right.
Something's wrong with you. What you need to do, you're like old Peter. I go a fishing, and you affect everybody else because you're not right with God. People, it gets back to me sometimes. They said, over at New Testament Baptist Church, our church is not as friendly as it used to be. I said, well, who is the church? You. It's not as friendly as it used to be. I mean, some people come into church, they sit down, they don't talk to nobody, they don't say nothing. They say, you know, people's not as friendly as they used to be. One fella one time said, they just don't shake your hands. I said, how have they gotten anybody to shake your hand when you got them in your pocket? Hey, you're the first one out the door. I mean, what do you think I'm going to do? Make a beeline to the back door and tackle him just to shake his hand? And his car's already almost leaving the lot before I say, hey, man. There's nothing wrong with the ship. Because, see, it was bought by Jesus Christ. He gave himself for the church. There's nothing wrong with it. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love yourself, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. I've always said the problem wrong with most men is they want their wife to submit, but they don't want to love her. You'll do what God told you to do, to love her and give yourself for her. Hey, she'll submit and follow you. In some kind of ways, guys, I wouldn't follow either if I was a woman. I mean, if you ain't man enough to be a man, my God, how you expect her to follow you? I mean, she's always defending you. Every time a fight starts, you jump behind your wife, and she has to take it up. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the church because of where he put it. He put it where? In John 17, he put it in the world. He put it in the world. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. He put the church here in the world to be a light to this world. So there's nothing wrong with the ship. Do you have any meat? You need to realize there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it because the here, it's localized. Not only did he put it, he localized. He put Bible Baptist Church here, right here in Pensacola. I know there's a lot of people wish New Testament Baptist Church wasn't in Kannapolis, but it is anyway. They don't have no choice. God put it there. It's a thorn in the flesh of a lot of people. But it doesn't make any difference. It's there. And it's there to the glory of God. And it's there. One old preacher, been there for quite a few years, pastor of Southern Baptist Church up there, told one of my deacons, Brother Mitch there, he said, I know why God put Brother Bobby Utley here in his hometown. He said to hold people's nose to the King James Bible and not let them get away from it. Head out, criticize. Is that all he can talk about? No, I can talk about a lot of other things. But I'll tell you, there won't be very few messages I ever preach that I won't bring your nose back to the book. Get you to remember that the book of God. Why? Because of all the garbage and the trash out here. Well, I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with the ship. And then there's nothing wrong with the scriptures. Verse 6 and 11. And he said unto them, cast thy net. Singer. Yep. Not plural. Not many translations. Yep. What?
You got it, brother.
Cast thy net. Amen. Over at one place he told them to cast their net. Here he says one. One net. Cast thy net. And listen, if you want to do something, cast your net. Start putting the net out. He said he'd make us fishermen of men, yeah, not swappers of the aquarium. That's what's going on in the world. I'm telling you, you need to realize. He said, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish. Simon Peter went up and drew the net. Singer. Praise God, there's one book. There's one book, and that's the King James Bible, the Word of God. Amen. I'm talking about this book I hold in my hand. This book that my old grandmama told me that this was the Word of God without error. My old Baptist grandmother could not read the newspaper, but she could read that.
Amen.
She got down and prayed, said, God, I can't read. I don't know how to read, but I want to read your Bible. God let her learn to read the Bible. She could pick up a newspaper and couldn't read nothing in it. Yeah, man, I'm talking about, buddy. Have they told me this is the Bible, the Word of God? Now, I'd rather believe her, believe them than believe any of these educated fools that's trying to tell people all these errors and everything else. You think I'm going to believe them when I had an old grandmother get down and I'd be up there with a little boy and she'd get a hold of that old bedpost and she'd begin to weep and cry. And I'd reach up there and I'd pat her on the cheek and I'd say, Grandma, don't cry. Oh, big, turn it on, huh? Got to have it on. You got me? Man, you should have yelled at me and said, hey, turn it on, stupid. Amen. Wouldn't bother me. Amen. My old grandma said, I'd say, don't cry. And I remember calling my name out. And I remember calling all my uncles, my aunts, and my mama, and all that. I didn't know. I was a little boy. I didn't know what was going on. I'll tell you, hey, listen, that old Baptist grandmother, she's a calling out to God. That old Methodist grandmother, you know what's wrong with America? We ain't got no grandmas. Her grandmas are gone. They're off in the nursing homes. Grandmas used to stay with their families. And the kids got to get around and get something from them old white-headed grandmas and grandpas. Not no more. No, we got the bebopping. We got the women 60, 70 years old, thank God, trying to look like teenagers. With the big boots and the fancy boots, the half-naked clothes and everything. No, we ain't got the old-time grandmas in America. And that's why America's gone. Oh, my wife to be one of them old-time grandmas. She ain't walking around a pair of pants, a pair of shorts. That old grandboy, thank God, he's going to know a grandma that lives separated and holy unto God. Amen? She ain't going to look like some Jezebel, bless God. She's going to look like she's been walking with God. Amen? She does walk with God, too. I'd rather have my wife pray for me than anybody I know. Hey, I live with her, friend. I know what she is. People get upset at me. They said, you and your wife have fights? I said, no. You mean y'all don't have no, we have never. Said, well, somebody's henpecked. No, you're a liar. I'm not henpecked. The reason we don't have fights is because she's got a meeting of quiet spirit. It ain't because of me. Because of her, she won't fuss and fight. Hey, man, there wouldn't be so much hell raising in homes if they had some meek and quiet spirit women. We need old time grandmothers. Hey, men walking with God. Hey, that Bible, the Old Testament said, when the thigh's showing, you're already naked.
You're already naked. America don't know what nakedness is. They think when somebody's down yon on the street, on the beach with a G-string on everything, that's naked. Honey. A lot of people sitting in Baptist church is naked. My God, you just about see their navel. They got it down here. They got it up here. Some poor hell-bound sinner comes in. He sits in there and he can't keep his mind on God. He looks over at half-naked woman and everything. He can't keep his mind on God. Yeah, man. I'm talking about, brother, the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with them. They tell you how to live holy and godly in this present world. See, when I got saved by the grace of God, I wasn't raised in a Baptist church. I'd been a little boy, but I was raised in a Methodist church. And so they didn't do nothing right. Everything they done was wrong. I sat on beer stools with Sunday school teachers. That's why they couldn't tell me nothing about God the morning I needed to get saved. I had to go find somebody that knew God. I know that crowd didn't. So when I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't know nothing. And boy, one day I put my little Bermuda shorts on, my little penny loafers, and got my little socks up. Boy, cool cat, man, I'm going out. And I start out, and God said to me, he said, "You're going out naked?" And I said, "Are there something wrong with this, Lord?" He said, "Yeah, you're naked." I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know it. I won't never do it again." And I took my Bermuda shorts and I burned them. And my daughters have never seen me with my shirt off. Amen. I'm talking about the scripture. There's nothing wrong with the scriptures. Why? Because they'll teach you salvation by the grace of God. Not hang on, hold out. That crowd's always tell me, said, "Well, I believe you got to live it." I said, "Well, tell me what I got to live. I want to know." "Well, you just got to live it." I said, "Well, if you know what I got to live, sure to God you can tell me what it is I got to live." I'm glad I don't live it, friend. I'm glad it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am crucified to Christ, yes, not I, but Christ liveth in me in life, which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Jesus Christ living in you. And I'm the same everywhere. I don't care where it is, friend. I mean, I ain't nothing but an old North Carolina redneck. You can't make no more out of me. And I ain't going to try to be anything else but that. That's what God called me. He called me to yell, scream, and spit, and stomp, and cry out. He said, "Cry loud, and spare not, and what tell my people." That's what I've been doing. Went over in the Holy Land. Walking in this place over there, and this old Catholic priest standing there, the old fuzzy face, you know, he looked at me and he said, "We don't allow no shouting here." And I'm walking along and I said, "My God, out of all these people, what's he talking to me for?" And then the Holy Ghost said, "Paul, in Jesus we know." I said, "Oh Lord, there's a devil in that sucker that knows me." Amen. I just had a shouting spell anyway. I shouted anyway, glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you the word of God. It's plain and clear concerning salvation. It's plain concerning sin. Yeah, amen. You don't have to guess at it. I mean, it's clear. Well, that's the preacher's opinion. Opinion? I don't have an opinion. My opinion's just about as bad as your opinion. It ain't worth a flip. The word of God, what it says, friend. Not what you think it means, but what it says. As that brother said, it said, "Come out from amongst them." Son, hey, places I ain't got no business being. You say, "What do you mean, preacher? I ain't got no business out of the ball game." You know why? Because I couldn't act like a Christian out there. I'd act like a fool. And then look at me and say, "Well, God, how can he be saved acting like that?" I mean, I get mad, almost red, cuss the umpires out. I ain't got no business out there. Now, maybe you can do it, but I can't. So I just stay away. I don't go. Because I've got to... Man, I have enough time driving an automobile. I would to God never had to drive another car in my life. Man, I'm telling you, I get so frustrated at people that they never use signal lights. My God, let me know where you're going, buddy. Man, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know which way you fix the turn. I hate stoplights. I just hate that stuff. And I get frustrated and act like a fool. My wife says, why don't you pull them over and witness to them now? She says, my preacher said. There have been a couple of times I said, well, I don't really care what your preacher said. Amen. Boy, she knows how to get me down there just like that. Amen. What do you do? I sit over there and sulk and mad as the devil like you would. I ain't no hypocrite, friend. And then God says, tell that woman you're sorry. And I said, I ain't going to do it. He said, you better tell her you're sorry. God, that's the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. Say, I'm sorry. Men are just like that. Now, women, my Lord, most time don't have that problem. It's just old sorry, ungodly men. See, we have a problem saying, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm telling you, concerning the Scripture and concerning judgment, friend, I mean, this book tells you, if you're lost, you're going to hell. You know, I asked one of them fellas about falling from grace. I said, let me ask you a question. If it was possible for a person to fall from grace, like you say it's based upon what you do. I said, what when you get there and it's all weighed out and everything comes out even? Then where are you going? Limbo? Maybe purgatory? Hey, man. Brother, that Bible said the wages of sin is death. I mean, you're going to die an eternal death in the lake of fire. That book is clear concerning judgment. This world, America, is under divine judgment of God right now. That man and woman in the White House, that's a judgment against this nation. They asked for it. They wanted it. They got it. You say, I didn't ask for it, neither did I. I'm not guilty. I didn't vote for the sucker. I don't know who you voted for. If you voted for him, my God, you need to get an altar right now and get right, God. I like that sign where it says, I didn't vote for the president nor her husband either. Yeah, man, I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with the Scriptures. Then there's nothing wrong with the sea that there's on. It had fish in it. It was full. Too many times we say, the place where God put me, it's too hard. Nothing wrong with the fishing hole. It's got fish in it. There's never been a place too hard for God. Pastoring in your hometown, buddy. Boy, that's really it. I mean, they know everything about you. They remember all that stuff. And their kids come out there and get under conviction, and they say, where would you at? I was out at Preacher Utley's church. Who? That heathen? I mean, they remember. Some boys told me, said, my mama said you used to go to Tommy's hayloft. I said, your mama's got it right, boy. I used to. But I don't no more. Amen? I mean, you hear these super aggressive boys, they say, come out, we got an ex-baseball player. I got on the radio and said, come out to New Testament Baptist Church. There's an ex-drunk in the pulpit. Amen. Yeah, I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with the place where God put you. God put you there for a purpose. I like what this one brother said about it. I don't believe all this jumping. These preachers. Hey, do you know where there's a church at? No, I don't know where there's a church for nobody. I mean, these guys, just every time they every time trouble breaks out, here they go. Here they go. Hey, I've been there 26 years. I just had to fight it out. You know what I tell them? It's easier to move your letter than it is my furniture. And it costs a whole lot less money. If you don't want to stay here, we got the stamp and the letter. We'll let you go. Before I come down here, I had to get running one. I've had a woman for 20 years. God thorn in the flesh, that woman has, I mean, she has almost worried the devil out of me. And everybody in the church. And I've been compassionate. She'd stand up and start in. I'd say, sit down and shut up. And that didn't do no good. I go to her personally and talk to her. I mean, listen, when people stand up and testify, they want you to testify of Jesus Christ, not a rat coming up in your commode. What's a rat got to do with Jesus Christ? So here the other Sunday, she crossed the boundary. She told one of our fine ladies in our church, called her a self-righteous hypocrite. Just because she told her some kids she was bringing to church, said, you need to keep them kids with you and take care of them. And she called her a self-righteous hypocrite. So when she come in on Sunday night, I said, I need to talk to you. And I said, you're going to have to keep them kids with you. Look, them kids, I said, you're going to have to straighten up too. You're not going to tear a service up here in New Testament Baptist Church and send her going to hell breakneck speed. She looked at me and said, you're going to have to straighten some of the others. I said, hey, woman, you don't tell me what to do. My wife don't, and ain't nobody in this church going to do it. She shot her mouth off again. I said, get out of here, and don't you ever come back. I put up you 20 years. Bless God, it's time for you to find you another church. Amen. Most fellas are trying to get him in, son. I end up running most of them off. Some of you don't like it. I see it on your face. You know what? I'm going to go over here and take a baby aspirin and worry about it. Amen. I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with the place where God put you. Amen. Young fellas, you fixing to go some places. You get out of here, you're going to get in some places, and you're going to think God's forsook you, boy. I mean, God ain't going to be nowhere around, and you're going to be out there. Brother, it got like that, didn't it? Boy, you thought, man, I'm just in the wrong place. That's all it is to it. I don't even believe God sent me up here. But then you find out. You stay with it. You just stick with the stuff. And then you look around after 26 years, and you see that one saved, and you see that one saved. You see that one saved, and get over and just look at these people who got saved. You see these little kids come around you and hug you and love you to death, you know. A little kid, boy, they say that's my preacher. Amen. Thank God, hallelujah. A boy comes down here, a little old girl went down and he was getting a haircut. This guy said, you know, it's getting about time. You know who to come? She looked up, she said, I don't know, but it's about time for Jesus to come. Amen. I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with the fishing hole. Then there's nothing wrong with the Savior. Verses 5, 6, 12, 13, and 14, you read them, you'll find there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with the Savior because he always comes through in a time of need. I mean, they toiled all night. They were tired. They had caught nothing. Son, there wasn't no time to drag fish up on the shore and clean them. But they come up and there was fish and bread on the fire. Amen. Can you just imagine old Peter? Can you imagine Peter? He's denied the Lord. I mean, he's cussed. I mean, listen, he's done some ungodly things, and now, instead of doing what the Lord told him to do, he's off down there fishing. And God told him, said, I'll make you fishermen of men. He's off down there. I can see Peter. I can see old Peter coming up out of there, and he's got his head down, and he's really not wanting to look Jesus in the eye. wonder what he's going to say to me. Oh, God, I bet he's going to get on me. I bet he's going to jump on me and tell me how sorry I am. And he looks up and he looks her in compassionate eyes. He says, come and dine, Peter. Come and dine. Hey, he never one time jumped on Peter about what he'd done wrong. He just simply said, come and dine. Boy, I'm glad when I've done wrong, when I ain't right, and he don't jump on me. He just says, come and dine, Bobby. Come and dine. Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with the Savior. He makes the provisions just when they're needed. And I'll tell you one thing, those fellers never thought one moment there wouldn't be enough. There's always sufficient with Jesus Christ. Sometimes my needs get to the point, I think, he ain't going to do it this time. It's running out and it's getting close, and here he comes. I never would forget I had a need, a real need. I'd prayed about it. And I was in a fellowship called the King James Bible Fellowship, but it's finally gone. Back then, I went down to Brother Dave Reese. We don't take up money for preachers, and you have to pay your own way if you get there. And I said, God, I'm going to have to borrow the money to get down there. And I got down there, friend, and God got a hold to Brother Dave Reese, and he made up a love offering of $900 for me. Man, I cried. I went back to the motel and squalled and cried. I said, phew. Hey, I'm talking about when you got a need, God will meet it. It's always sufficient. That need met exactly what I needed. Then there's nothing wrong with the supper. Verse number 12 and 13, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples asked him anything about where'd you get it. Bless God, they just knowed it was God. And that was it. They remembered. Boy, they remembered the five loaves and the two fishes about that time. They knowed he was one that can get it done. He can get what you need when you need it. Amen? There's nothing wrong with the supper. When you come to the house of God, you know what it's supposed to be? The table is spread. And here's the bread of life, and there's nothing wrong with the supper. Hey, man, the only problem you have is just hearing and tasting. The old prophet said, taste it and see that it's good. Man, the word of God. Hey, sometimes, boy, I just get so carried away and I grab my Bible. I don't want to get up on that thing. I grab it and I just say, I can't hug Jesus, bless God. But I can hug the next thing to him. Amen. Just hug it real good. You said, you're crazy. That's right. You got it. Totally, completely nuts. Who cares? I mean, this old Brother Roloff said this is the same asylum run by the inmates. So just join the nuts, amen, and be crazy. But if you're going to be crazy about the right things. Amen? And then finally, there's nothing wrong with the shore. The shores where the Savior's at. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Up yonder, upon that eternal shore, he's waiting to come back and take us to that shore. Thank God there ain't nothing wrong with the shore. Old Paul seen it and said, I'm going to tell you, it's unspeakable. You can't even talk about it. John over there, he got carried away and give us a glimpse of what it was like, the best he knew how. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Eyes have not seen and ears have not, neither is in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with the shore where you and I are going. So then, children, do you have any meat? You got no business saying no. Because there's nothing wrong with everything that God has put forth in your and mine life. Nothing. The heartaches, the trials, the tribulation, they build character. And I'm going to tell you, say, preacher, wonder why we can't have a revival. America ain't got the character for revival. You got to have the character, friend, and the church, the people today inside the church, they don't have the character for revival. Character for revival, friend, means you're going to have to take the beating. And you're going to have to live holy. And then God will get on the scene. There's nothing wrong. Do you have any meat? Examine your heart and find out. Do I have any meat? Well, he said there wasn't nothing wrong with the church. Maybe I've been griping about something I didn't have no business griping about. You got it. You got no business griping. Well, I just don't like the way Brother Ruckman does things. Well, see, that ain't none of your business. That's God's business and the man of God's business. And if he's wrong, you let God straighten him out. God never can put you in authority to do it. You just keep your hand off of God's man and pray and say, Lord, I don't think what he's doing is right. Well, pray about it. You know why you won't pray about it? You're afraid God will tell you. Or you just shut your mouth. I'm running the show. That's why you won't pray about it. That's why you'd rather fuss about it. That's why you'd rather argue about it. That's why you'd say, well, I'll just tell you what. I'll just pick up my marbles and go home. Yeah, that's the way most people are. Remember, old boy, we was playing ball one day, and this boy had to go home, and he's going to take. I said, I'll bring you bat and ball home. He said, okay, Bob. Well, this other boy grabbed the ball and bat, said, I'll just take it to the house. I said, hey, you ain't taking the ball bat and go to the house. I got him in the ditch, beat the devil out of him. You ain't taking the ball bat. He gave me the ball and bat. It ain't time to go to the house. So I'm telling you, what you need to realize is this. There's nothing wrong with what God has placed here. Everybody in the country thinks there's a whole lot wrong. But everybody in the country ain't right. A lot of people think there's a whole lot wrong out there at New Testament Baptist Church. Yeah, but that ain't nobody's business. God put that church out there. And God put this preacher out there. Remember years ago we bought something. And it got back to me. Some people said, well, I don't think we ought to have done that. And I got up and I said, well, do you know why you don't think we ought to have done that? Because God didn't call you to preach, he called me. He put me here because I got sense enough to know why we got to have it. And you don't. Because God gives wisdom to his man. He sees down the road. He knows what needs to be done. Well, I wish Brother Ruckman wouldn't have brought that old redneck in, but see, that's not your business. That's God's business, what God wants. Out of all the people here, they may be somebody here, but this old dumb redneck helped this week. And if God sent me down here to help one person, he's not interested in all your griping. He's got one little sheep that he loves enough. He said, I'm going to help that one. Amen? Glory to God. I just always want to be where he wants me to be. Back as a little old boy, Brother Ruckman be coming. When I was a little old boy, laying out in the backyard many years ago, I said, God, can a little fella like me ever know you? I was looking up the stars up on an old mill hill. Well, he didn't say nothing to me. But I know now that he said, don't worry about it, Bobby. I'm going to introduce myself to you down the road. Hallelujah, and he did. And he's let this ignorant, unlearned boy be in some of the most unusual places. I never thought I'd ever get out of the city limits of Kannapolis. You know why? Because he loves me. Because he's gracious to me. And he knows one thing. I'll say what he puts on my heart. It don't make no difference who gets mad, who gets glad. Old Brother Bob Jones, I believe he once said it. I think it ought to be right. You ought to either make them mad or you ought to make them glad. When you preach, something ought to happen. Do you have any meat, children? Brother Ruckman, come. You can get that meat. When you realize there ain't nothing wrong with what God is doing in your life. He's doing what he wants to do, and he's doing it for his glory.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right, I don't think we'll give an invitation. I think we'll just let you sit and let that sink in for a while, okay?